Welcome, sports fans, young and old, from Wisconsin Public Radio. It's Extra Innings, an up-close look at the Northwoods League and its impact in our communities. From the Route 51 home field in Wausau, I'm Shireen Seewert.
And I'm Ezra Wall from the Newsmakers' alternate location in La Crosse. We'll also welcome the regular listeners of the West Side in Eau Claire and Simply Superior in Superior. Today, we're taking a trip around the bases on Extra Innings. Later in our second base segment, I'll be joined by Major League All-Star and former Eau Claire Express pitcher Jordan Zimmerman. Plus, we'll hear from Express broadcaster Pete Knutson and La Crosse Loggers manager Brian Lewis.
Joining us at third base will be WPR sports reporter Megan Hart, and we'll bring it all the way around to home plate with your calls.
But leading us off at first base, Shireen's all set to talk to three guests who know just how much these teams mean to each of their communities. Mike Rosenzweig, owner of the Duluth Huskies, Kayla Michelle, assistant general manager of the Wisconsin Woodchucks, and Andy Francis, general manager of the Wisconsin Raptors.
Let's play ball. For our first segment of today's program, I'd like to welcome each of our three guests to talk about the connection between their teams and the communities in which they play. Mike from the Duluth Huskies, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much. I'm happy to be here.
And Kayla from the Wisconsin Woodchucks in Wausau, so glad that you're here with us today as well.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on.
And Andy from the Wisconsin Rapids Raptors. Hello and welcome.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Mike, the Huskies, part of the Northwoods League since being founded in 2003. So players who've gone on to find success in the big leagues, I notice that they often credit their success to this connection that they have with the Northwoods League. I'm curious, what does the league bring to the Huskies organization that makes that partnership so valuable?
Well, that's a very good question. And certainly everyone looks at things a little differently. I think when these players get a chance to play in the Northwoods League, they are really being given something they're not learning out of a book. It is a grueling short season with only a few days off during the entire summer. So if they're not playing at home in our respective ballparks, they're on the bus, traveling to where they're going, they're truly getting what it feels like to be in the minor leagues.
So really an authentic training ground then for yeah. these young players.
Oh, yeah, very, very much so. And we use wooden bats, you know, which is what they're expected to use in the minors and up in the majors. And for a lot of these college players who are coming from their respective colleges and universities, swinging aluminum bats. And as I know, Kayla and Andy can tell you, you know, first couple of weeks, boy, their batting averages aren't necessarily great because they're thinking they can just hold the bat out there practically, and that metal tink that you hear will send the ball flying. And now they're swinging wooden bats. And, you know, this is the reality check for some of these players, and it's fun.
Well, Kayla, the Wisconsin Woodchucks owner, Mark McDonald, he invested millions of dollars into Athletic Park in Wausau, where the Woodchucks play. Over the last few years, this park has been transformed. It's still kept its historic feel, but it's very much changed. I'm curious why you think it mattered to renovate a stadium that sits in the middle of a neighborhood. I mean, why not go to the outskirts of Wausau? Why not build something new?
The ballpark itself has actually been in the Wausau community since 1912. So it's been around for a very long time. The actual official name of it is Historic Athletic Park. So it has the historic in front of it for a reason. It was important to keep it in that same spot because that's where it's been all along. And people just know that they've grown up here and seen it change and seen the different teams come through there. Another reason is if you've ever been to Athletic Park, there is a brick wall surrounding it. This is also a big piece of the history for us. So that was actually a WPA project back in the 30s. So people needed work during the Great Depression. And one of the jobs that they were given was to build this wall surrounding the ballpark. So you'll hear tons of fans come up to you throughout the summer and tell you that their grandparents or great grandparents were a part of that project. And it's really cool to them to see it still there. So it was important for us to keep those historic pieces when we were going through all of these renovations. And then revitalizing the Wausau River District. Oh. So that's an area that recently has undergone a lot of economic development. So we're trying to build that back up so that there's more restaurants. There's a park down by the river now, and Athletic Park kind of started that all, I would say. When we started those renovations, you know, businesses started seeing that and thinking it was a good area to develop a little bit more.
And Andy, the Rafters also play at this historic field, Witterfield. It's just an incredible place built more than 90 years ago. How does that historic field of the field, just how does that play into the whole fan experience?
It kind of plays into the tagline that we have here, the Cranberry Crazies. This is what we call ourselves. And I mean, at the end of the day, it's unlike other places I've been before. With the construction, everyone is behind home plates. You know, all seating is from first base to third base. We don't go into the outfield or anywhere close to the foul poles. So when you do put our average attendance of 1,400 people in the stadium, it feels like a playoff atmosphere every game. And the best part about this community is they stay here until the end. Very rarely will you see, you know, hey, if we were sold out on a Saturday when it's in the seventh inning and we're losing, you're going to see a majority of the fans still here, banging their feet, cheering, yelling and screaming. And it's something that you don't always get everywhere else. And it's something that I myself, in the position I'm in, as well as all the players that come through, they notice it. Some of these guys come from big D1 schools where they may have a fan base that is of similar size, but they just don't feel that same energy.
Mike, do you think that at the field where the Huskies play, the Frank Wade Municipal Stadium also has a rich history, do you think that also adds to the excitement, as Andy was saying?
Well, you know, I think it does. There are a lot of great new ballparks having been built. And if we just review back to what they were doing in Wausau, and they've done an awesome job. It's a beautiful ballpark. I've been there. I've been to the ballpark in Wisconsin Rapids as well. They all have this charm. You know, even as big and as old as Wade Stadium is, and good Lord, we need a lot of money to fix that place up. But yeah, no, there's no question about it. Coming into the old ballpark at Wade Stadium, we've got nice concourse areas. Of course, this year they won't be used because of COVID-19, and we won't even go there with that. But you walk up the ramps up into the bowl seating area, and there's 4,200 seats. And we have our own green monster wall that's about 16 feet high, and there are a lot of doubles hit off the wall, not a lot of home runs at Wade Stadium. But it gives you that feel of, some people have said, it's like a little baby Wrigley Field.
Mike brought up COVID. Of course, that meant that last year's season was abbreviated, very short season, very different from seasons past. And now, I mean, we're getting ready for the first pitch to come out at all of your ballparks. And I just have to wonder how much excitement you're feeling. Kayla, what are you hearing from the fans? What are you hearing from the coaches? What's everyone telling you?
They are so excited. The support from the community has been, I've been here for 5 seasons and it's been probably more than it ever has been. People are just so excited to actually go out and do things outside and make memories again. So, you know, our single game ticket sales are going well. We have Quick Trip 3-game packs that people are just loving right now. Sponsors are excited to do something for the community at the ballpark, and players, coaches, they're just excited to get back to some sense of normalcy. You know, some of them played a little bit last year, but it was nowhere near what it used to be. So they're just excited to get that back and actually have some fans cheering them on too and have that support.
And Andy, you know, in the off season, you probably didn't know what was going to happen. I mean, everything has been just rapidly changing over the past year. When you finally realize that, hey, you know what, we're going to have a season again. We're going to have a ball game at our park like we used to have. How did that feel to you?
It was great because, you know, for us here with the Rafters and, you know, with all the Northwoods League and baseball as a whole, the fun of our jobs is trying to fill the stadium with as many people as we can. The moment when we figured out that we were going to be having it as a for sure thing, kudos to Kayla up in Wausau there. They got approved for 100% capacity, and the week after was our meeting with our city. So it was easy saying, hey, you know, Wausau up there is doing it, so why can't we?
Mike, what are you hearing from the community? How excited are they?
Well, you know, it's as if this is the first year we've ever played baseball in Duluth. We're having that kind of excitement. We were one of the six teams that did not play last summer. And so the excitement is just continuing to build. Our phone is ringing. We just went live today with tickets, and my general manager was saying, my goodness, we're having one heck of a morning already.
And you're going to have a season.
And we're going to have a season. Well, I'll probably cry the first time I hear the national anthem at the ballpark. It's just, it's going to be one of those emotionally filled days. I think it's just going to be awesome.
The Woodchucks do a lot of special events. I know all of your teams do. Kayla, the fireworks, the 4th of July celebration, how does that add to the connection with the community? How important is that?
It really goes back to just making memories for people. So it's not just a ball game. And I know that both of you on this call can attest to that as well. We're so much more than just baseball. Some people come for just the baseball, but a lot of people come for socializing and for entertainment. So you'll see some between inning on-field contests that are super goofy and fun. And then every single one of our games has some sort of special event or promotion tied to it.
Andy, what about you? I know that in Wisconsin Rapids, there's fireworks. You've got some special celebrity appearances. What's in store this season?
Every year we put out a survey just asking a bunch of questions of, you know, what do they want to see? What are your thoughts, so on and so forth. And my favorite question is, you know, do you like baseball? Are you a baseball fan? And I think 60%, give or take, of people that come out to our ballpark don't like baseball or aren't baseball fans from their consideration. So it's perfect. It means we're doing a great job entertaining everybody. It means, you know, we're providing a lot of extra bonuses for people within the community, and allows me to then, you know, market the team across Central Wisconsin, saying, hey, you know, we're more than just baseball, we're entertainment. But I think for us, it comes down to getting back to a lot of what we do well here with some guest appearances and some entertainment acts at the ballpark, just getting back to entertaining. And then on top of it, even digging into the community a little bit further. I think out of our 36 nights this year, we have 24 of them kind of focused around a community nonprofit and or some sort of community effort. I think it was important for us going into the season, getting back to full, to kind of make that connection even deeper than what we've had in the past.
Kayla, a little bit earlier, you mentioned the goofy stuff that happens on the field in between innings, the races, those kinds of things that really make it fun for everybody. What are some of the fan favorites in Wausau?
Fan favorite for sure is our ketchup and mustard race around the bases. So we dress up two cute little kids in ketchup and mustard costumes, and they try to race around the bases. So fans love that one. We also have a frisbee toss, which is hilarious, but the fans get so into it. It's so random, but we have four kids stand on home plate, and they try to toss their frisbee, or they stand on the pitching mound and try to toss their frisbee onto home plate. And whoever gets the closest gets a free haircut, or if they actually hit home plate, which has only ever happened one time, they get a $100 gift card. But yes, the anticipation, sometimes frisbees will roll around a little bit and people get very into it.
Andy, what about Wisconsin Rapids? What brings fans to their feet?
You know, there's a couple that Kayla mentioned that certainly we do here as well that gets the reaction. Every year we take a look in season, you know, hey, what are fans reacting to? And if they're not reacting to it, you know, hey, it's scrap, and we're going to bring in something else out of the list of, you know, however many things we have. We got a little creative in the past where, you know, on certain nights where I think we had like a Nickelodeon night, and I ended up getting slimed because fans could vote to see who they wanted to, and unfortunately lost, but it might have been rigged. I don't know. Really, any way possible to get a reaction is kind of the name of the game for us, and usually when you have a cute little kid, that's kind of the number one.
So, Mike, in Duluth, what do Duluth fans love most about the games? What do you want them to come away with?
We want them to come away with the fact that they need to come back. For a lot of our fans, this is their summer families. You know, they only see these people that they sit around during the baseball season, and they make good friends, you know, they swap stories half the time. I don't even know, as Kayla said too, if they're even watching the game. You know, they're there because this is what we do, you know, in the summer. And so for us as well, whether it's somebody's having a birthday party and a whole section of people get a free piece of birthday cake or what have you, or giving away roses to some lucky person sitting in the stands. You know, these are the sorts of things that just seem to make everybody feel like they're part, you know, part of a larger family. It's all of that that makes people say, you know what, this was fun. I'm coming back.
What about the overall cultural importance of having a local ball club to root for summer after summer, just having that, you know, that staple? Andy, how important is that?
I think for Wisconsin Rapids, with the Raptors being kind of the thing in town, it's huge. It's something where Witterfield is the focal point of this community, and the potential of not playing last year would have been a huge impact just from overall cultural standpoint. So for us being able to get up and open last year, you know, hey, it, you know, wasn't necessarily a profitable year for us, but we looked at it more so along the lines of we wanted to be that leader within this community to provide a normal experience again for people of Wisconsin Rapids that, you know, for the last however many months, you know, kind of were shell-shocked with going into a lockdown for the first time in many of their lives and just kind of being thrown off their own rhythm. And for us here, we wanted to be a part of kind of resetting that culture and getting back to the norm there.
Mike, what about you? And of course, last year, your team didn't play at all. And did that make you go back and think, this is something that is so important, and now it's coming back?
Well, you know, last year for Duluth, there were so many things that were canceled. Duluth is a huge tourist spot in the summer. And the Duluth Huskies, when we're playing here in the summer, we're an added venue, if you will, to everything else that's going on. You know, we're 2 hours and 20 minutes away from the Twin City metro area, and we get a huge number of visitors from the Twin Cities coming up every single weekend. So it hurt everyone, but Duluth has just a vast array of breweries, of events, of concerts, of sporting events. And as you know, Duluth is very big in hockey. And there are a lot of summer hockey programs that go on. It's amazing. We even have done hockey night at the ballpark. And if that's what it takes, you know, that's what it takes to get them out there. So for us, it's a little different than some of the other communities because we are such an entertainment venue for a lot of people in Minnesota and in Wisconsin.
And Kayla, in Wausau, how important is it that we have this team here?
Very important. Like I mentioned before, we've been around for a really long time. Our ballpark has been here forever. So everyone knows who we are. Everyone knows where the ballpark is in Wausau. And it just gives everyone something to look forward to over the summer. So it's really great to be able to be that for people. And, you know, people look forward to the same things every year, the ketchup and mustard races, the fireworks night, just to have something for them to go to and to feel connected with each other, with socializing with other community members. It's really important to us to get out there and be that for people.
Thank you, all three of you, for being here today. It was just a pleasure talking with you about your clubs and about your plans for the summer. Mike Rosenzweig, owner of the Duluth Huskies, Kayla Michelle, Assistant General Manager of the Wisconsin Woodchucks, and Andy Francis, General Manager of the Wisconsin Rapids Raptors. We certainly appreciate the time you spent with us, and good luck with a great season ahead.
And you're listening to Extra Innings, a look at hometown baseball and its deep roots in our local communities. In our third base segment coming up, we'll be joined by WPR sports reporter Megan Hart, and we'll give listeners a chance to ask questions and share their hometown baseball memories. In the meantime, send us those emails, ideas@WPR.org.
And coming up next, we round the corner to second base with Major League All-Star and former Eau Claire Express pitcher Jordan Zimmerman. Plus, we'll hear from Express broadcaster Pete Knutson and Lacrosse Loggers manager Brian Lewis. I'm Shereen Seward in Wausau.
And I'm Ezra Wall in Lacrosse, and this is Extra Innings from Wisconsin Public Radio.
MacArthur will hold up at third. Two runs coming to score. Gilbody followed by Watkins, and the Huskies have taken a 4-1 lead.
Let's go! Batter up! We're taking the afternoon off! It's a beautiful day for a ball game today!
We're back on Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Ezra Wall from the Newsmakers alternate location in La Crosse, and you're listening to Extra Innings, an up-close look at the Northwoods League and its impact in our communities.
From the Route 51 home field in Wausau, I'm Shereen Seewert, extending once again a warm welcome to our listeners in La Crosse, along with regular listeners of the West Side in Eau Claire and Simply Superior in Superior. Standing with us at second base are Express broadcaster Pete Knutson and La Crosse Loggers manager Brian Lewis. We'll hear from them in just a moment.
But first, Jordan Zimmerman is a Milwaukee Brewers pitcher and two-time Major League All-Star. He also threw the first no-hitter in team history when he was a member of the Washington Nationals.
But before all that, back in 2006, Zimmerman spent the summer with the Eau Claire Express.
You grew up in Auburndale, Wisconsin at first. Obviously, you played baseball. Was baseball a big deal for your peers and everybody else there in Auburndale?
Yeah, I mean, baseball, and I mean, we're probably more of a basketball town than anything, but anybody who played any sports pretty much did the baseball, football, basketball. Played all three of those, and I think we were more of a basketball town than anything.
How old were you when you started to recognize, or maybe even when your coaches started to recognize that the level of ability that you had could take you somewhere beyond your average sort of high school career?
I mean, honestly, I didn't really know. I mean, I thought I could play college ball, and I didn't have any offers or anything out of high school. I was only, you know, throwing 86, 87. I would hit every once in a while, but I was actually going to go to Point and play baseball and football. But then once I got in there, I figured it'd be too difficult to do both of those. So I had to pick one of the two, and I went with baseball, so I mean, it's looking like I made the right decision.
Absolutely. So, and our conversation today is about the Northwoods League and your involvement in that. When you were playing in college, what drove you toward the Northwoods League as something that you'd like to do with your summer?
My freshman year in college, the summer after my freshman year, I just stayed close to home and played for, you know, a little summer ball team in Marshfield, Wisconsin. And then my sophomore year, that's when I went to Eau Claire. Dale Varsho is the coach over there, or was the coach. I believe he's still there.
Still is, yeah.
Yeah. And I played for him when I was, you know, still in high school doing the summer baseball and stuff. So that was kind of my in to get over in Eau Claire, and he wanted me to come over there and pitch for him. So after my sophomore year, I went over there and played for him.
And what was that experience like for you? You coming from being involved in high school and college, the big thing everybody knows about the Northwoods League is that it's a so-called wood bat league, where they use some of those conditions that might be more like what you'll experience in professional baseball. How much of an adjustment was that for you as a young player?
I'd never really pitched to wood bats before, prior to that. And the reason why I want to go over there, because there was a lot more Division I guys that were over there playing. So I wanted to see how it, you know, match up to those guys. And obviously there's scouts and stuff that come to all the games. And that's kind of where I got recognized, was playing over there. I had a really, really good summer and did really well. And that's when teams started noticing me. And yeah, I could have went Division I after my sophomore year, but I didn't feel right doing that to my teammates and coaches at Point. So I stuck around, you know, at Point for one more year, and then I got drafted.
And it seemed to work out for you.
It worked out great.
One of the interesting things about playing in a league like the Northwoods League is that you spend the summer living with host families. How was that experience for you?
That was good. My host family was great. You know, took care of me very well, and every night you come home and they had food and everything waiting for us. So it was nice. I stayed with another guy that I went to school at Point with. So it was pretty easy, and it was definitely a big help having, you know, a place to go every night instead of staying in a hotel or something.
How long did it take before that started to feel kind of like home away from home?
I'd say a week or two. They were very welcoming, and they were doing it for many, many years. So it wasn't like it was their first year. And, definitely made an easy transition for me.
Jordan Zimmerman is a former member of the Eau Claire Express way back when, and has been kind enough to join us on our Extra Innings show here today on Wisconsin Public Radio. Jordan, good luck this year, and thank you very much for joining us today.
All right. Thanks for having me.
And you're listening to Extra Innings on Wisconsin Public Radio. It's our focus on the Northwoods League and its connection to communities throughout different parts of Wisconsin. And I'm very pleased to be joined by two guests. Brian Lewis is the field manager of the La Crosse Loggers. Brian, thank you very much for joining us today on Extra Innings.
Thanks for having me. Excited to be a part of the conversation today.
Pete Knutson is the broadcaster, the play-by-play announcer for the Eau Claire Express. Pete, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
So I want to start with Brian. You coach at Viterbo University. You're the baseball coach there. You're also entering your ninth season as a coach of some stripe with the Loggers, and your sixth as the manager, the field manager there. The kids you're working with on the Loggers, same age as the ones your regular school players during your regular season. How is the Northwoods League environment different from what those kids that you're coaching during the school year experience?
It's incredibly different. It's such a more professional atmosphere in the Northwoods League, the way that you travel. You're constantly playing. You're constantly in and out of hotels. So the overall experience in that regard is a lot different. The young men themselves, very similar, of the same age. Talent level a little different, as you guys well know. In the Northwoods League as compared to NAIA baseball here at Viterbo. But, you know, you deal with a lot of the same things as far as personalities and issues that they may or may not have on or off the field. And so the experience with the Viterbo kids definitely helps me out when it comes to dealing with individual personalities in the Northwoods League.
And how important is this experience for those student athletes who are looking to go pro?
Well, in my opinion, I think it's huge. You know, the thing that sets the Northwoods League apart to other summer collegiate leagues is that you're constantly playing. There's really no days off. It's few and far between. And it gets them ready from a daily grind standpoint for minor league baseball. And even the young men that I've been fortunate to coach over the years that may not have had the best seasons in the Northwoods League and maybe even felt a little bit defeated by the grind and exhausted. Once they get into minor league baseball and hire even some of them in the major leagues, they look back on it as what really helped prepare them. You know, days where you're sore, days where you're tired, days where you're just not all there. They've been through it. They had to do it in the Northwoods League, and they tend to break through and continue to have success because of their experience in the Northwoods League.
Another major difference between the college environment and the Northwoods League is the use of a wood bat, which the kids experience in the Northwoods League, and it's what they would use if they end up playing pro ball. How much of a difference does something like that make?
Well, it's a huge difference, especially for those young men that haven't really used wood bats before. You know, you get an 18-year-old freshman, you know, no matter if he's from the Pac-12, the SEC, or wherever he's from, if he hasn't really swung with a wood bat before, it's a huge adjustment for him.
As you're seeing these players, and you get them for a short amount of time, but as you talked about, it's a really intense period of time where they're really, really highly focused on baseball. How much growth has that player experienced by the end of your short season?
Well, in my opinion, I think that there's a lot of growth out of a lot of guys. I mean, of course, you're going to have some that, you know, for whatever reason, they may leave the same baseball player as they were when they got here. But most of the guys develop quite a bit. I mean, you know, speaking for our organization, I'm sure other teams run it very similar, but you know, every single day, you know, there's early work. Guys are at the ballpark, you know, 11 o'clock in the morning, 12 o'clock in the morning or in the afternoon, depending on the schedule. They may come out and take 200, 300 swings, a couple hundred ground balls. We work on double play flips and feeds. We may, you know, depending on the day, we're working on everything. And, you know, they probably have a couple, 2-3 hours worth of work in long before batting practice even starts before the game, you know, and then you go through your typical batting practice and then into the game. And I think that's something that a lot of fans, or at least some fans, don't realize, that by the time the first pitch is thrown on the 7 o'clock game, a lot of those guys, especially the position players, have already put in 4 hours worth of work, you know, before the game. So we tend to think that we do a pretty good job with that. There's a lot of places on the road that'll allow you to come into the ballpark and do your early work as well when you're on the road. So we take advantage of that. Most every city has a a weight room facility, a strength training facility that you can use when you're on the road. We have it here at home, and guys are in there. We make sure they get in there. So we're doing everything on our part to try and help develop them. And the other thing is, you know, we play 72 games in a regular season. Most of the kids that are here for the full season, they'll play more games for myself and my coaching staff than they will for their college coaches within a 2-year period, a lot of them. So even though it's just one short summer, the amount of time that we spend with them on the field trying to help develop them is a lot more time than they may be getting even from their own college coaches. So I think the development portion, and I'm sure Pete sees it too over there with Eau Claire, they get a lot of great players. You'll have guys that are pretty good players on day one, and they leave, and you can tell that they're a completely different player in a lot of ways when they leave, and they go back and have great college seasons.
Brian Lewis is the field manager for the La Crosse Loggers, and we're speaking today on Extra Innings on Wisconsin Public Radio. Pete Knutson, the broadcaster for the Eau Claire Express, from your perspective up in the booth, how do you approach creating that fan experience for the people who are listening to your broadcast?
Well, I always think of you're in a living room, or you're next to a campfire, or you're in the fishing boat with whoever it is that's listening, and you're just kind of sitting next to them having a conversation about baseball. So that's typically, you know, how I approach a broadcast. Basically, try to, you know, paint the picture, all the cliches that broadcasters use. But I mean, the fun part is getting to see kids, see guys who could potentially make it to the big leagues, or at least to a high level. And, knowing that you're seeing kind of the startings of that, you know, the young career kind of starting is really exciting. So that's how I approach it. You know, you get to the ballpark early, just like the players do. You get research, you get ready to go, and you just try to make it a fun, exciting time for the listeners and the viewers.
This is not a network game. You're definitely a homer. I mean, the Express are your team, and you're part of them, and you're part of that voice. What about the importance of the community in this kind of baseball? It seems like there seems to be a real connection with the communities where these teams are located throughout the Northwoods League. What do you think that's owing to?
With us, it's a little bit about the history. When you come to Carson Park, I mean, you're talking about the oldest park, or one of the oldest parks in the Northwoods League, a place where Hank Aaron played, and a place where a lot of great players, you know, Bob Uecker, Joe Torre, those kind of guys played, you know, back in the 50s and 60s. So there is a very sort of community historic kind of feel to it. And then, you know, obviously the current community that you're in, and you know, whether it's charitable things that the Express do, so it's working with like Big Brothers Big Sisters, whether it's working with Mayo Clinic and doing a charity type of thing for people with cancer, trying to overcome cancer, that sort of thing. You can feel that kind of community to it, so that's a big piece of it. And like I said, just getting to know all the people who are involved with the team, and you know, I mean, it kind of becomes your summer family, right? It's 10 weeks of hanging around people day in, day out. So it becomes, you get pretty close with them.
That's Pete Knutson, the play-by-play announcer for the Eau Claire Express. Also joining us is Brian Lewis, the field manager for the La Crosse Loggers. Brian, the home situation for the players, they're not, for the most part, from this area. They're coming here. They're not up in a hotel for the summer. They're staying with families. What's that home situation like for these kids?
Yeah, well, it's a little bit scary for some of them at first. You know, they're going into a stranger's home that may or may not have children. They may or may not have numerous children at the house. And for a lot of guys that we get on our team, we have a lot of guys from the West Coast area. And so simple things, geographically speaking, are very different for them. You know, something that's like a simple thunderstorm to us here in the Midwest, when we see lightning and hear thunder and all that, you know, we have kids from California that have never seen lightning in their life. They freak out as soon as the rain starts coming and the storm comes. And I watched a young man one night, I won't say his name, from the University of California, and he dove underneath the bench in the dugout because he thought it was going to be the end of the world coming, you know. And so things like that are fun, obviously, but they're different. And from the host family standpoint, more pointed to your question, is kind of what Pete was saying. We have a great community of people here surrounding our organization, and the host families are, you know, the people we couldn't do it without. And, you know, we've always had really good experiences, and we have a lot of repeat host families that have kids year after year. And you know, it's a great thing for everybody involved.
College students will be college students. And I'm wondering, you know, when somebody needs to be reminded to toe the line a little bit closer. Whose responsibility is that, you or house mom?
Well, it depends on where and what we're talking about. You know, if we're on a road trip, that falls on me and only me. If it's something that may come up while we're at home, and, you know, college kid being a college kid, which is easy to do in the city of La Crosse, you know, that falls more on the host family, and they have communication with the front office. And they tend to take care of that.
You talked about the different parts of the country where these student athletes are coming from. And I'm curious to know, where do you recruit most of these kids from? Are these like D1 schools, or do you recruit in other divisions as well?
We do recruit across the board. You know, here in La Crosse, our team president, Chris Goodell, who's been in the league for practically his whole life, he's got relationships with universities and coaches that go back decades. And so he tends to get some players from the same universities. But we go across the board. We have Division II kids, we'll have NAIA kids. But predominantly, Division I players from higher end, D1s, as I already mentioned, the Pac-12, SEC, Big Ten, the talent comes from all over, from every level.
That's Brian Lewis, the field manager for the La Crosse Loggers. Pete Knutson, one of the biggest names to ever come through the Northwoods League, though, came through Eau Claire 8 years before your time. It was Jordan Zimmerman, who's now up with the Brewers. What's it like when you see players of that caliber coming through? Can you tell when you're watching them play in the Northwoods League which ones have the potential to go on to something as great as what Jordan Zimmerman's been through in his career?
Yeah, I mean, you can tell guys who certainly have talent. I mean, I probably can't tell it as well as you know, the managers and the scouts and everybody like that. But there's definitely players who come through. The ball sounds a little different off the bat. You know, they can do a ton of different things. You know, Jordan Zimmerman's a great case of a kid who played at Stevens Point, right? And was a D3 player basically, and comes through and comes to Eau Claire and you know, had some success here and has made a pretty darn good career out of it as well. Cole Calhoun was the same way with the Express, played at Yavapai when he started with Eau Claire, and now is playing with the Diamondbacks. And so it's, yeah, you can kind of tell there is some kind of recognition there. And I think that's the fun part for the fans. I mean, think about it. When can you see, you know, potential big leaguers playing at a small park, you know, knowing, being able to talk to them, being able to see them for a pretty small amount of money. That's a pretty cool thing.
I want to make sure I get a couple questions in about this upcoming season. Brian, first to you, what are the Loggers looking like this year?
Well, same as every year. We look like a first place team on paper right now, Ezra.
There you go.
we've got a lot of talent on the roster, but it's a lot of it is young, raw talent. Guys that were highly recruited, you know, perfect game, top 300 players coming out of high school. That are freshmen at big schools where they're not playing a whole lot. So they'll come in and they'll be fairly raw, but the skill sets will be off the charts. On paper, we're excited about where we're at. We think we should have a pretty productive year, but you know, you never know with injuries and coaches shutting players down and things like that where you'll be in a month. But hopefully in 30 days when we go to start or whenever that is, we'll be right. Our roster will look the same as it does right now.
So, of course, assuming you're right and assuming that you're on the way to that championship, who's sneaking up in your rear view? Who are you worried about?
I worry about everybody, man. I mean, I've been a field manager for going on 6 years now. I've only been in the playoffs one time. So, you know, we have a lot of good battles with Eau Claire over the years, which I'm sure Pete has enjoyed watching from time to time. You know, Eau Claire is always very competitive. They're always a thorn in the side of us when we do get a chance to compete with them. Dale and Vic are awesome, and they compete hard. But, you know, St. Cloud is always very strong. Augie Rodriguez runs a great program up there. They seem to be in the playoffs year in and year out. Wilmer's always got a great team. And Duluth has come on the last couple of years in the league as well. So it's always a battle. You know, I go back to something Augie Rodriguez told me, you know, the manager of St. Cloud. He said, people don't realize how hard it is to win just one baseball game. And the fact that you have to try to win 40 to 50 of them to get in the playoffs, you know, it's a tough deal. And it is. It's a tough deal. And you go against great coaches and great players every day. So we worry about everybody. But at the end of the day, it's about how we play the game and how we try to develop the guys. And as long as the players leave, you know, better at baseball or at least better with their skill set than when they came, then it's a successful season for us.
As we wrap up, I can't let you go, Pete. I never was any good at baseball, but I always was really great in my own mind. I wonder if, as I come up to the plate in my own imagination, can you give me a home run call?
Give you a home run call?
Yeah.
Well, see, I've kind of vacillated with that over the years, but basically the last couple of years I've just kind of stolen Harry Carey's call. So, you know, I just give you it is a home run, right? So that's about that's where I go. I try to leave all of the drinking and the, you know, taking your shirt off in the booth and that sort of thing away. I'll leave that with Harry Carey and just pick up that home run call.
The holy cow. There we go.
Right.
All right. Thank you for joining us today, Pete. I really appreciate it.
No problem.
Brian Lewis is the field manager of the La Crosse Loggers. Brian, thank you for joining us today on Extra Innings.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
That was Eau Claire Express broadcaster Pete Knutson and La Crosse Loggers manager Brian Lewis, part of our all-star lineup for Extra Innings. It's a look at the Northwoods League hometown baseball teams and what makes them so special to the communities in which they play. In a few moments, we'll be standing at third base with WPR sports reporter Megan Hart.
And then we're bringing it around to home plate with your calls. Do you have a favorite baseball memory? We'd love to hear about it. Call us at 800-780-9742. You can email us, too, at ideas@WPR.org. When you call, be sure to allow enough time for our producers to answer the call. From Newsmakers Alternate Location in La Crosse, I'm Ezra Wall.
And from the Route 51 home base in Wausau, I'm Shereen Seawert. You're listening to Extra Innings on Wisconsin Public Radio.
Swing and a miss by Gamble, and there's one strike. 2-0 Eau Claire, top of the ninth. Express haven't been to the championship game since 2016. One strike away. Sherland waves off a couple signs. He wants that one. He's got it. Here's the 0-2 with two out. Here it comes. Swing and a miss!
If I pitch, can you catch? Will you hold the ball? When you step to the plate, will you swing and fall? If you play, you gotta know how it's done. Can you catch? Can you hold a hard one? I mean, baby, do you know the game? I mean, baby, do you know the game? I'm a big league pitcher. Can you catch the hurdle?
We're back on Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Ezra Wall from the Newsmakers Alternate Location in La Crosse. You're listening to Extra Innings, a look at hometown baseball and its the role it plays in our communities and has for decades.
From the Route 51 home field in Wausau, I'm Shereen Seward. What do you love most about your hometown baseball team, and what are your favorite memories? Give us a call at 800-780-9742 to join the conversation, or email us at ideas@WPR.org.
And now we're joined by WPR sports reporter Megan Hart. Megan, thanks a lot for being here with us today.
Hi, Ezra. Thanks for having me.
And we've been listening to the whole show talking all about Northwoods League baseball. Of course, you're not from Wisconsin. When was it that you got attached to baseball as a fan?
Sure, I am actually from the Tampa Bay area, so I am one of the elusive Tampa Bay Rays fans out there. They started as a team when I was about 10, so I've been a big fan of theirs since the very beginning. It's been actually really cool to be able to see a team from the very start that's really, despite sort of the, I think that we're universally viewed as one of the less popular teams, but we've had a lot of success in the last few years.
For sure. And what is it about baseball that's so special to you? I mean, you report on sports, you're a sports fan, but baseball, when you enter a stadium, what do you feel?
Oh, I think baseball, just the sights and the sounds and the smells of the ballpark are also sort of like universal and easy to recognize, and just bring such they just bring me so much pleasure. And I really think that baseball can just be so exciting. For example, last night the Rays were losing, I think, 3-1 in the seventh, maybe, and they scored 7 runs or something like that. And they're playing out in California, so I was asleep. But when I woke up this morning and saw that, I was so surprised. I didn't think there was a chance they'd come back, but that's really the beauty of the sport.
So a lot of people come through the Northwoods League on their way to bigger and better things. We heard from Jordan Zimmerman earlier in today's show. Of course, anybody who's spent 5 minutes rooting for the La Crosse Loggers will tell you all about Max Scherzer. Who are some of these names that we would recognize from Major League Baseball who got their start in the Northwoods League?
Sure. Well, as a Rays fan, Ben Zobrist is certainly one. He had a great career with the Rays before he went on to win a World Series with Kansas City, and then the following year win a World Series with the Cubs, finally breaking their drought, and he was MVP of that World Series with the Cubs. Brandon Crawford won a couple World Series with the San Francisco Giants when they were so good in the early 2010s. You got Chris Sale, who is recovering now from Tommy John surgery, but he won a World Series with the Red Sox a few years ago. And then some really kind of all-time greats like Andre Ethier, Curtis Granderson, and some more up-and-coming stars like Pete Alonso, who won Rookie of the Year with the Mets a couple years ago, or Matt Chapman with the A's, who I think was an All-Star in 2019 and a Gold Glove winner. So a lot of really impressive people on that list.
For sure. Earlier in the program, we heard Jordan Zimmerman talk about being in a host family. I mean, the Northwoods League doesn't house players in motels or hotels. They put them with families and kind of give them this home experience. Talk a little bit about that. How important is that?
Sure. So the, it's a really unique aspect of the Northwoods League. And I've been at games where I've been able to chat with some host families just about what a wonderful experience it's been for them. Because like your other guests have said, a lot of these players are coming from different parts of the country and experiencing new things. And so it's really cool, I think, for the players to get to stay with a local family, but also for the family, and especially families with young kids, to get to expose them to people from different areas of the country. And last year I was covering a game down in Kenosha, and I talked to one of the players there who was staying with a host family, and he was just especially appreciative last year during the pandemic because the players were, of course, you know, they were taking a lot of safety precautions, but still coming and going from the host family's houses. And these families, you know, despite the pandemic, were still willing to open their doors to be able to make baseball happen and give these kids a chance to play, which was a really big deal after their college season was canceled, because baseball, you know, it's the kind of sport you need to be playing every day. So it really makes a big difference for these kids.
We're talking with WPR sports reporter Megan Hart, and I'm wondering, Megan, you talked about rooting for the Tampa Bay Rays coming up, and of course here we root for real Major League Baseball team, the Milwaukee Brewers. but what's the difference in that experience that the Major League parks that we're used to going to, maybe on a special occasion or something like that, versus these hometown fields where our Northwoods League friends are playing?
Well, you know, maybe the Rays are a little more similar in terms of attendance to the Northwoods League than the Brewers. But the great thing about the Northwoods League is just how accessible the games are. You know, you can park relatively near the stadium. You don't always have to get tickets too far in advance. They're fairly affordable for most people. And I know some of your other guests talked about all of the really fun promotions that they have going on. I'm based in Green Bay, and so this summer, for example, the Booyah are going to wear Green Bay goat uniforms every Sunday in honor of the Packers. So they've got green and gold uniforms, and they just have all kinds of different activities that they do. I know that Cole Van Lannen was just drafted by the Packers, and he's a hometown player from here in the Green Bay area. So they have him coming to sign autographs during a game this summer. And there's just, you know, every game there's some fun aspect. And I also have to say, I had a little sister from Big Brothers Big Sisters, and we loved going to the games because she was often chosen to take part in some of the activities that they do sort of between innings, some of the little contests. And I know that that's not something you get every time when you go to a big league game.
If you have questions for Megan and you'd like to share a memory with us, the number to call is 800-780-9742. The email ideas@wpr.org. Megan, I'm glad you brought up the Booyah, because what is a Booyah? What is that?
Well, I
mean, I know what a woodchuck is.
Yeah. So I will preface this just reinforcing the fact that I am not from the Green Bay area, but I have had Booyah. Actually, last year, the team, before the season was able to start when it was delayed due to the pandemic, to make some money, they actually sold Booyah by the quart with growlers of local beer. And so I did get some Booyah, and it is basically a hearty sort of chicken stew. From what I understand, there isn't really one universal recipe, but basically it's got chicken and vegetables, and it's they say it sticks to your ribs. It is popular in the upper Midwest, but from what I've read, it is believed to have originated in Belgium, but it's quite good.
That's all we have time for today as we complete our exploration of hometown baseball in the Northwoods League. I'm Shereen Seward from Route 51 in Wausau.
And I'm Ezra Wall from Newsmakers in La Crosse. Thanks also to the listeners of the West Side and Simply Superior. Thanks to our guests, Jordan Zimmerman, Pete Knutson, Brian Lewis, and Mike Rosenzweig, along with Kayla Michelle, Andy Francis, and our own Megan Hart.
Special thanks to the regional teams in Wausau, La Crosse, Eau Claire, and Superior for their help in producing today's program. Our executive producer and on-air producer is Rick Ryer. Special music today provided by the Harry Simone Singers, Mabel Scott, and Whiskey Falls. You can hear the archive of today's program at WPR.org.
We certainly hope you've enjoyed our trip around the bases here on Extra Innings today from Wisconsin Public Radio.
Home with a baseball and a bat in his hand. Daddy had him swinging from the time he could stand. Out in the sandlot, he was king at the plate. He kept his eye on the ball and sealed the pitcher's fate. And every time he'd stand on deck,